Psalms chapter 20, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. I think that's a good place to start, amen. Verse number 1, the Bible says there in Psalms chapter 20, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call." Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have come today. I pray that you would bless them, encourage them from your word this morning. Give us strength, Lord, now for this week, that we might serve you, that we might be a testimony and a witness for you, God, in our homes and at our places of work, God, and in this community. And Lord, we just pray, God, that everything that's said and done in the message this morning would bring honor and glory to you, and we would be beneficial to those who are here this day. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would strengthen us now and give us some help, Lord, the help that we need this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice the word sanctuary in verse number 2, because that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. As King David writes about the sanctuary here in Psalms chapter 20, of course he is referring to the Old Testament tabernacle. Now, I'm well aware of the historical context of this verse and the prophetic and the spiritual meaning behind this entire chapter. This chapter is really about Israel. And it's about Israel's king. And even better, this psalm is a prophecy of the coming Messiah king and his work of redemption. But I also want to point out to you the practical meaning of these verses, especially verse 2, where David mentions the sanctuary. As I said before, David is not speaking here of any place. He's talking about a specific place. He's talking about the Old Testament tabernacle, or the tent of meeting, the very place where the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God, dwelled, the very place where offerings, sacrifices, and prayers were made to Jehovah God, and where divine service was performed. The word sanctuary means sacred place. And I don't believe it would be wrong or amiss for us to use the word sanctuary to describe the local church. I don't have any problem with calling this church here in Barrow a sanctuary. And I believe that this place is a sacred place. How many of you here this morning believe that this place is a sacred place? I believe that it is. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You see, it's not the place that's sacred. It's the presence of God in this place that makes it sacred. And I believe this church is a sacred place because God's presence is here this morning. Calvary Bible Baptist Church is a sanctuary. We worship the God of the Bible here. This is a place where divine service is performed on a weekly basis. So what kind of place was the sanctuary? David's talking about the sanctuary here in these verses. What kind of place was he talking about? Well, I believe in the Bible and from these verses that the sanctuary was a happy place. David said in verse 5, "We will rejoice." We will rejoice. The sanctuary wasn't a gloomy or depressing place to be. It was a happy place to be. The sanctuary was a place of rejoicing. It was a place where God's people went to sing praise and to glorify His holy name. The Bible says in Psalms 134, verse 2, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." The sanctuary was a place where people went to bless God. So many times Christians come to church wanting God to bless them instead of, you know, it being the other way around. We should be blessing God in the sanctuary. We should be blessing God in His house. The Bible says in Psalms 150 verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary." The sanctuary was a place of rejoicing. It was a happy place to be. The sanctuary was also an exciting place to be. It was a place God's people looked forward to going with great anticipation. David said in Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was David glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord? Because God's place, God's house was an exciting place to be. The sanctuary was an exciting place to be. And you know, we ought to look forward to coming to church. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians today, for a lot of Christians today, church is not a place they look forward to going very much. It's not a place they're excited about being on Sunday. Many times it's kind of just an obligation to go to church, and it's not something that they look forward to do. I heard about one mother who had to bust down the door of her son's room one Sunday morning and wake him up to try and get him out of bed to go to church. And he said, Mom, I don't want to go to church. And his mom said, well, I'll give you three reasons why you need to get up and go to church. First thing is, as you're a 31-year-old man, and a mother shouldn't have to tell a grown man to get up and go to church. And second, you call yourself a Christian, and a Christian ought to want to go to church on Sunday morning. And in the third place, you're the pastor. What am I going to tell the people if you don't show up, if you're not there? So, you know, for a lot of people, you know, church is not a place they look forward to going. But in the Bible, the sanctuary was a happy place to be in, and the people who went there were happy and excited about being there. And the sanctuary is still a happy place. We should be excited about being in church on the Lord's Day. We should look forward to being in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. But not only was the sanctuary a happy place, the sanctuary was a holy place. And because the sanctuary was a holy place, I believe it was a happy place. A happy Christian is a holy Christian, and a happy church is a holy church. Now, I know a lot of churches today are going overboard trying to make the worldly crowd happy by making church entertaining for them and making the church fun for them to be at. And I'm all for having fun at church. I'm all for having a good time at the Lord's house. But, you know, we cannot use worldly means and worldly methods to try to bring people in and just to make them feel comforted. I'm not interested in making the worldly crowd feel comfortable in the church. A person coming off the street, a lost person ought to be in this, coming to this church, and they ought to feel uncomfortable in this church, and they ought to want a desire to have fellowship with the Lord, and they ought to know that the conviction of the Holy Spirit's in this place. But it's possible to have an exciting church without bringing in all kinds of worldly entertainment into the church. And when a church starts lowering God's standards of holiness and worship, and they start bringing in the rock bands, and they start bringing in the rap singers, and the dance groups, and the stand-up comedians, you know, they can rock and roll, and hip-hop, and scream and shout, and laugh and cry until they're blue in the face, but God's not going to be around. God's not going to meet with that crowd. I said, God's not going to be in that kind of a service, in that kind of a place. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. God is a holy God, and His sanctuary is a holy place. And there's a right way to worship God in His house, and there's a wrong way to worship God in His house. And the right way to worship God in the Lord's house is in the way of holiness. That's the only way to worship God, as in holiness. The Bible says in Psalms 96, verse 9, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God thinks holiness is beautiful. You want to get God's attention? You want to get God come and meet with us? We got to worship Him in holiness. I tell you what, holiness is beautiful to the Lord. It's beautiful in God's eyes. And the Bible says in Psalms 93, verse 5, holiness becometh thy house, O Lord. You show me a holy church, and I'll show you a happy church. You show me a church that hasn't compromised God's standards of holiness and worship, and I'll show you a church where God can move and God can work in the lives of the believers there. The sanctuary was a holy place. And thirdly, the sanctuary was a helpful place. Look what the Bible says in verses 1 and 2. The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. The house of God is a place where people can go to find help. The house of God is a place where people can go to find help in time of need. You know, some of us need help. Some of us need more help than others, but we all need help. Amen? I know I need help. Our families need help. Our marriages need help. Our children need help. And when family and when problems arise and families and difficulties come into our lives in the day of trouble, ain't it good to know that there's a place where we can go to get some help? What's sad is that when families begin to have problems and difficulties, a lot of the times church is the first thing they cut out. Say, why is that? Instead of making church a priority, it becomes kind of a hit and miss thing. Instead of remaining faithful to God's house during times of difficulty and trying times, we end up forsaking the sanctuary. Listen, our families need to be in church. Our families need to be around the Word of God. They need to be in a place where the Word of God is preached. There's help in the sanctuary for you and for me and for our families. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. This morning I want to preach on the help that is available to us at the house of God. What does the sanctuary have to offer us that will help us in the day of trouble? One thing that the sanctuary offers to those who help us, those who need help, I think, is salvation. The Bible says in verse 5, "We will rejoice in thy salvation." The house of God offers a message of hope for the sinner. Aren't you glad there's a place in Barrow, Alaska, way up at the top of the world, in the middle of nowhere? There's a place here in Barrow, Alaska, where you can bring your family, where you can bring your relatives and your friends and your neighbors, and they can still hear the old, old story. We preach the gospel here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church, and we make no apologies for that. We preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We preach repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We preach hell hot, heaven sweet, sin black, and salvation free. We preach the road to destruction wide, the path to life straight, all roads lead to heaven a lie, and Christ the only way. We preach salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We preach the same message that Jesus preached while He walked this earth. Ye must be born again. Because this world's only hope is Jesus Christ. He's the Savior, He's the Deliverer, He's the Redeemer, and He's the only one that can help you or me in the day of trouble. He's the one and only mediator between God and men. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I remember reading a story long ago, and I may have already used this illustration once. I believe I have, but I like it, so I'm going to use it again. I remember reading a story about the life of D.L. Moody when one night a troubled man walked past the church of D.L. Moody, where D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago. And he walked past the church, and as he walked past the church, he noticed this gas-lighted sign. I don't know if it was a neon sign. It just was some kind of a lighted sign that said, "God is love." That's all it said on the front of the church. And he walked by there, and he looked up at that sign, and he saw that sign, and he just kept on walking for a few blocks. And then he got to thinking about what that sign said and what that sign meant. And he got walking along, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he went back and got in front of that church and looked up that sign again. And he could hear the singing going on inside the church and the joy of the Lord in that place, the rejoicing of the saints. And he went inside that church, and he sat in the back row. And D.L. Moody got up to preach about that time, and he looked out there across that auditorium, and he looked back there, and he saw this old man, this man sitting back there he'd never seen before. And this man was obviously troubled, and as D.L. Moody began to preach, the man kind of put his hands up to his head and just kind of buried his face in his hands, and D.L. Moody could tell that he was troubled, and he preached on salvation, and then he closed the message, gave an invitation. The man just sat there in his seat, didn't move, didn't get up. And so after the service was over, D.L. Moody was shaking hands, and he made his way back to the back of the church, and he sat right down next to this man, and he asked the man if there was anything that he could do to help. And the man said, "No, there's nothing that you can do to help me. I'm just an old sinner. There's nothing you can do to help me." And D.L. Moody said, "Well, listen, I want to help. Let me give you some help. If you just tell me what's going on, what's happened in your life?" And the man said, I just was walking past this church this night, and I looked up and I saw that sign, God is love. And I heard the singing going on in the church, and I kept on walking, but something compelled me to come back, and I just couldn't get that message out of my mind, that message, God is love. And when I heard the singing going on in the church and the rejoicing inside, I just had to come in here and check out and see what was going on. And he said, D.L. Moody, he looked at D.L. Moody and said, "Is that message true? Is that statement true? God is love." And D.L. Moody said, "Yes, God is love, and God loves you." And he said, and D.L. Moody asked the man, "Do you believe that God loves you?" And the man said, I don't know. I don't think God could love an old sinner like me. And D.L. Moody said, oh, that's the greatness of God, because even though you are a sinner, God still loves you. And D.L. Moody began to preach Christ to that man. And pretty soon the love of God shone in that man's heart. And that man bowed his head and repented of his sins and trusted Christ as his Savior. That man got saved. He got help from the sanctuary. He found salvation in the house of God. How many of you this morning got saved in a church? Raise your hand. There's some people. Aren't you glad that there was a place you could go to get saved? You got saved in the church. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I know a person can get saved anywhere, but somebody getting saved in the house of God, that's a special thing. That's a wonderful thing. And I believe that there's help in the sanctuaries for sinners. And we ought to be doing everything that we can to get sinners inside the door of this church where they can hear the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only is the sanctuary a place where sinners find salvation, the sanctuary is also a place where saints find strength. Now listen up. Please try to stay with me this morning. The sanctuary is a place where believers are strengthened and encouraged. The Bible says in verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Zion was the name for one of the hills outside of Jerusalem or in Jerusalem, which was the capital of Israel. And the name Zion means strong citadel. Now I'm sure sometimes David, after battling with the enemy, would feel weary and worn. I know in one instance, David was fighting against the Philistines, and the Bible says that he waxed faint. David was a warrior. He was a mighty man of valor. But sometimes after battling the Philistines, after battling the giants, after battling the enemies of God's people day in and day out, not to mention the spiritual powers that work against him, after he was done with all of that, I'm sure that he felt weak. And in those moments of weakness, after the battle was over, as he would begin his journey home to Jerusalem, I can just imagine as he got close, he could look off into the distance and see Mount Zion. And I believe he would keep his eyes on Mount Zion, and I believe he would just follow that mountain all the way right to the sanctuary, and there he would renew his strength and the strength of his men for the next battle. You know, sometimes this world can wear us down. Sometimes we as believers can become weakened in our spirit, and we need to be strengthened. And one place we can go to find strength is the sanctuary. The Bible says in Psalms 96, verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Strength out of Zion is a spiritual strength. It's a strength for the soul. It's a renewing of the inward man. And that's the strength we need in the day of battle. We are in a fight. We are in a battle. And that's the kind of strength we need in the time of trouble, in the hour of temptation. We need God to send us help from the sanctuary and to strengthen us out of Zion. Look at verses 7 and 8. David writes there, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Look at verse 8. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Why? Because the Lord has strengthened us. The Lord has given us some strength. And then, not only was the sanctuary a source of power for David and his men, but the sanctuary was also a shield of protection for David and his men. Look at verse 1. The Bible says there, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. To David and his men, the sanctuary was a place of peace and shelter. It was a safe haven from the enemy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what Jesus is trying to say to us? You know what Jesus is trying to tell us? He's saying, my house, my church is a safe place. The church is a place of safety and protection from the enemy. There's no place here on earth where a Christian ought to feel more safe and more secure than in the house of God. The sanctuary provided power and protection to David and his men, and it also was a supply of perpetual fellowship for David and his men. The sanctuary was where God's people assembled together, not only to worship the Lord, but also to fellowship together with one another and to encourage one another in the things of the Lord. After the battle, after battling and fighting the enemy all week long, after being around the wicked Philistines and hearing them curse God and mock the God of Israel all week long, I'm sure David and his men looked forward to going to the sanctuary and being around people who loved the Lord. I remember right after me and my wife got married, I got a job working at a sign company in Altoona, Pennsylvania. It was the Blair Sign Company. And I was the only believer in that whole place. I mean, I worked in a place there were just heathens there. And most of them were motorcycle gang members. And a lot of them, there was a group of guys that all played in a heavy metal, death metal rock band in that place. And I mean, they looked like it too. They looked like it. And I remember sometimes just dreading going to work and just, you know, just feeling so uncomfortable and just so at ease around these unsaved men and hearing them talk the way that they did and just had no respect for God, didn't know nothing about God, had no respect for the Word of God. And I remember being around those guys all week long, sometimes 6-7 days, at least 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And I remember just looking forward sometimes to going to the house of God on Wednesday night and getting that midweek fellowship and then going to church on Sunday and just being around Christians who believed like I believed and who loved the Lord and who were an encouragement to me. That was something that I looked forward to. And I don't know how some Christians can work with unsaved people every day and be around them all the time and listen to the constant flow of trash that comes out of their mouths and then decide they're going to skip prayer meeting on Wednesday night and stay home from church on Sunday. No, we need to be in the house of God where God's people are. We need that fellowship. We need that encouragement. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The sanctuary is a place where believers find strength, and the king and his men. To the king and his men, the sanctuary represented a supply of perpetual fellowship. It was a shield of protection for them and for their families, and it was also a source of power. And then thirdly, the sanctuary is a helpful place because of the Scriptures. Look at verse 4. The Bible says there, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Now David was a man with a love and a hunger for God's Word. He said in Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. David was a man after God's own heart, and I believe it was because he memorized, he meditated on, and he magnified the Word of the Lord above all else in his life. David was a man with a heart for the Word of God. And, you know, I don't believe God had any trouble granting the desires of David's heart because of his heart for the Word. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. David wrote in Psalms 119, verses 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. No, Amy Grant didn't write that verse. God wrote that verse, and it's in the Bible because God wants us to understand that his word can light our path and lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. Amen. Those who walk in the counsel of the Lord will be blessed with the peace of knowing that God is with them and that the God of heaven is for them. There's help for us in the sanctuary, and because the sanctuary is a place where God's precepts, God's principles, and God's commandments are taught. I would not go to a church that didn't believe the Bible and did not preach the Word of God as it is. I would not waste my time attending a church that did not believe the Bible and where the preacher did not preach the Word of God as it is in truth. The Bible says in Psalm 77, verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. The house of God is where we learn about the righteous ways of the Lord. If we want help and direction for our lives, hey, the sanctuary is the place to go. If we want godly counsel and sound advice, we need to be in church. If we want to learn about God and His ways, then this is the place we need to be. In 1 Timothy, the Bible calls the house of God the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's not your bedroom. It's not your living room. It's not your friend's house. It's not the gymnasium. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And I can't think of a better place to get grounded in God's Word than in God's house. The sanctuary is a helpful place because that's where we learn God's Word and that's where we receive the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow into healthy and mature believers in Christ. And lastly, the sanctuary was a place of help because it was a place where prayers and supplications were made. Look at verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. The sanctuary was a house of supplication. It was a place where God's people could go to pray. In fact, this entire chapter here, this entire chapter, Psalms chapter 20, is really a prayer for the king. David wrote this psalm as a prayer for himself as the king of Israel and those who would reign after him. The psalm was written by David as a prayer to be offered up to God in the daily service of the sanctuary for the leaders of God's people. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The sanctuary is a place where prayers of intercession can be made. Intercessory prayer is simply soliciting God in favor of somebody else or in favor of another. And as the people of Israel gathered together at the sanctuary and recited this prayer, they were interceding for their king. They were soliciting God to help and encourage and strengthen and bless the king in all of his endeavors. And I think it's so important for intercessory prayers to be offered up to God for our leaders. Our president needs our prayers. Our congressmen and our senators, they need our prayers. Our Supreme Court justices and our circuit court judges, they need our prayers. Our state community leaders need our prayers. Mayor Itta here in this town needs our prayers. And the church is a place where God's people can meet on a regular basis and a place where we can solicit God in favor of our leaders. Not only should intercessory prayers be offered in the sanctuary for our government officials and those who are in authority over us in the physical realm, but I believe also that prayer should be offered up for our spiritual leaders. I tell you what, your pastor needs your prayers. I need your prayers. Some of you have heard me preach, and you know that I need all the help and prayers that I can get. And I thank God for those of you who pray for me on a regular basis. I thank God for those of you who pray on a daily basis for me and my family. Don't stop. Keep remembering me and my family in your prayers. But I also want to encourage you to call out my name before God right here in this church. Right here in this church. Pray for me in this church. And I think it was either when D.L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon was preaching, I think that he had men during the time that he was preaching at the altar, and they were praying for him the whole time that he was preaching. And I believe both those men had wonderful ministries and saw thousands of people saved, hundreds and thousands of people saved. And it was because there were some men praying and praying for their preacher and encouraging them and lifting his hands up to the Lord in prayer. And that's important. I need that. But not only that, the sanctuary is a place where intercession can be made for pastors, yes, but it's also a place where intercessory prayer can be made for all those in full-time ministry. Our missionaries and their families, as we have their prayer letters up on the wall, they're called prayer letters, and we ought to be reading them, and we ought to find out what their needs are, and we ought to be praying for our missionary families on a regular basis right here in this church. And we do that on Wednesday nights. We make sure every Wednesday night when we have our prayer time as a church to pray for our missionaries. And that's important. The church is also a place where we need to offer up intercessory prayer for our church, other church members. We need to pray for one another. When we come to church and we see there are other members absent, instead of criticizing them in our hearts, why not just pray for them? When we are in God's house, we need to remember to lift one another up in prayer. Not only is the sanctuary a great place to pray for the saved, it's the best place on earth I know of to pray for sinners. How many of us have unsaved family members, relatives, close friends, co-workers, and neighbors who right now are lost and on their way to hell? The church is a great place to intercede for the sinner. I believe during every invitation that's given in this church, this altar ought to be full of Christians on their knees praying and pleading and, yes, weeping for lost souls to be saved. If we don't do it here, we're not going to do it at the house. The sanctuary is a place of prayer, and when we come to the house of God, we should be in an attitude of prayer. And you know, there are two sides to intercessory prayer. Yes, there are some things we need to be praying for in the house of God, but there are also some things we need to pray against in the sanctuary. When we enter God's house, we need to pray against the evildoers, the false prophets and the deceivers, the heresy and the lies out there in this world that Satan is promoting. We need to pray against the seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils and the false gospels that so many today are being led astray by. David, more than once, prayed against the enemies of God's people. And according to Ephesians chapter 6, one of the believer's most effective weapons in the battle for the in the fight for good and the good fight of faith is prayer. The sanctuary is a place where intercessory prayers can be offered up to God, and it is also a place where prayers of petition can be made. And I'm almost done here. The church is a place we can come to make our requests known before God. Sometimes we have burdens. Sometimes we have cares. And the house of God is a great place to cast our cares upon the Lord. The sanctuary is a place where prayers of thanksgiving can be made. You know, God sure has been good to us. We are a blessed people. When was the last time we just got down at an old-fashioned altar and said, "Lord, I don't want anything from you. I just want to say thank you for all that you've done for me." The sanctuary is a place where prayers of thanksgiving can be made. And then the sanctuary is a place where prayers of repentance can be offered up. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but we need revival. We need revival. Our nation needs revival. Our churches need revival. Our homes need revival. God's people need revived. And the only way revival is going to happen is for us as Christians to humble ourselves and pray. The only way revival is going to happen is for Christians to begin to seek God's face and to turn from their wicked ways. We must humble ourselves before God. We must confess our sins to Him. We must repent and get right if we want God to hear from heaven and heal our land. And the best place to do that is right here. And there's no time like the present to start. There's no better time than now to start. We need help, and the sanctuary is the place to get it. If you need help this morning, you've come to the right place. Amen. Whatever your need is today, whether it's salvation, direction from God's Word, strength, or answered prayer, there's help available to you today in the house of God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Thank you for being so patient and listening so attentively. We're in God's house this morning. It's a safe place. It's a sheltered place. We're among God's people. We're among people who love the Lord. And I'm sure there are needs in this auditorium that people have. There's cares. There's burdens that we have that we carry. Why don't you just come forward and cast your cares upon the Lord? Sanctuary is a place where prayers of intercession, prayers of petition, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of repentance are to be made and to be offered up. And if God's spoken to your heart this morning, we don't need a song of invitation. We just need to let the Holy Spirit do a work in our hearts. The altar's open. There's some coming already to pray. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? Maybe there's a lost loved one, a friend, a relative, a co-worker that you've been witnessing to, or that you haven't been witnessing to, that you need to. And you'd like to come and pray for that person this morning. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for our leaders. Our leaders need our prayers. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for your family. Pray for your wife and kids. Your children need prayer. You can get help from the sanctuary. You can get the help that you need right here at the house of God. And there's nothing wrong with coming down to an old-fashioned altar and just saying, "Hey, Lord, I don't want anything from you. You've been so good to me. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you for all that you've done for me." We need revival. We need revival. How many of you would like to come and get down around this altar and just say, "Lord, send revival"? We need revival. Save sinners. Edify saints. Encourage believers in the fight. We need revival. There's a lost world out there, and they need to see that God is real in our lives. They need to see God at work in our lives, and they need to see us as a people, as Christians, dedicated to His work, to the house of the Lord. They need to see us dedicated and committed to the sanctuary. I heard a preacher say once, if what you've got isn't enough, if you only got enough religion to get you to church, you ain't got enough religion to get you to heaven. And I know it's not the church that saves, only Christ saves. We know that. You can't get saved by just coming to church. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You must be born again. But when a person gets saved, they're going to want to be in the house of God. They're going to want to have a hunger. They're going to have a hunger and desire for the Word of God in their lives. And hey, the church is a place where we can come and hear the Word of God preached. It's a place we need to be. It's a place that we can find help. Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for, Lord, the message from Your Word today. It's helped me. It sure has helped me. And Lord, I pray, God, that You would let the message, Lord, sink down into our hearts now. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit has done His work, has done His job today in convicting the hearts of Your people, Lord, I pray that we would leave this morning determined to be more dedicated, more committed to this place. Thank You for this church. Thank You for the message that this church stands for. And thank You, Lord, for, Lord, the heritage that we have here in this town as this church, Lord, has stood in this town against evil and stood in this town for right for many, many years. Lord, help us to continue that. And Lord, strengthen us, God, for the battle ahead. And Lord, give us help this morning from the sanctuary. Thank You for what You've done in our hearts. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give Him all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank You for His church, the bride of Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. Have a great day.